Today's episode is brought to you by Dilly Company. Are you looking for some cool, comfy pickleball gear and clothes for everyone? Dilly Company! Check out today's episode for a special promo code. Welcome to Don't Make Me Come Back There. We are a funny podcast about family. My name is Dustin Nickerson. I'm a stand-up comedian, the host of the aforementioned podcast. And alongside me in our state-of-the-art recording studio above Public Square Coffee in downtown La Mesa, California, is my lovely wife, CFO, the pride of Manhattan, Kansas.
The other Manhattan.
Yeah, Melissa Nickerson. With us as well, our producer, Andy Lara. Welcome, everybody. Backstreet's back.
All right.
Boom, ba-dum, boom, boom. Here we go.
Yeah, yeah.
How did that get listed as a Halloween song? You know, Backstreet Backs, I think it's because there was like a zombie video.
Yeah,
I think
the music video is very, yeah.
It's
they're like puppets. Oh, no, that's
NSYNC. That's Bye Bye Bye.
That was
NSYNC.
Puppets of the industry. Am I right?
There's nods at the Thriller dance in the Backstreet Boys dance in that song.
Okay.
So there's like a zombie kind of.
Everybody comes from the town. It's Halloween in your neighborhood. Bum ba dum bum bum. Ghouls and goblins, costumes of kids. Bum ba dum bum bum. It's so funny. Everybody.
Yeah.
Spook your body.
Yeah.
I don't know. Full moon out tonight.
Oh.
How does this
back street back Halloween?
Halloween. We had kind of wrapped that segment.
Yeah, no, I just had to keep going.
That's
Halloween.
Good. Hey, you need to send a text, Mel? What are you doing?
I got our Patreon Zoom date. I got
when
it out.
We get to the thing. We're riffing and raffing right now. Riff raff. Couple of riff raff here. What Mel? What's the Patreon date? No, I'm just kidding. it's funny that got categorized as a Halloween song. Is all I'm saying. If you're a regular backseater, you know already. This is a two episode day. You can tell from the energy.
Yep.
You can you know, Mel's twitchy.
Yep. I'm just going to say yep a bunch in different ways.
Yepers. You know, we're here. We got a lot to talk about, though, because the one main thing we have not done is recap show week.
Mm-hmm.
We are not my show. Mm-hmm. Annie. Annie came to town. Our little daughter was an orphan for 4 days, really for the last few months. And we have a lot to recap. This was my first real immersive experience into the theater community, and so we've got lots to discuss on that. Before we get there, we give we got a Patreon. We really like our patrons. Kind of the best of the best, the deepest fans that we have are our patrons, where you just give a little more to the pod and all things Dustin Nickerson comedy, and you get a little more in return. It's a deal in that way. You know, it's an exchange.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the things you get?
Go ahead. Patrons get VIP meet and greets.
Meet and
at
greets.
Shows. Mm-hmm. They get exclusive merch, merch discounts.
Uh-huh.
We do
they get
monthly
the video episode a day before everybody else. They're the only people that get the behind the scenes, the weekly BTS that we have right there. Also, you get a free cameo a year. This is depending on what level you're at.
Yeah, monthly Zoom meeting?
Yeah, let me do the
Zoom hang.
Let
there we
me
go.
Do the cameo real quick. This is speaking of which. So I just got this email right here. This is from Eric. Mm-hmm. See you in Raleigh. Eric is a patron. My wife and I are so excited to see you in Raleigh, November. Thank you again for the cameo video. So what it was is he has a friend who recently bought a house here where we live.
Oh, yeah.
And so I did a video for him. Mm-hmm. And he said apparently his 2-year-old thought it was him. Nailed it. So this was the text thread that they sent me here. This was the so I sent the cameo right there. Clearly on the road. And this is the guy who got it. Holy crap, that's amazing. And Ezra, their kiddo, yelled, "Papa!" when this video was played. He thought it was me. And we're already planning on going to Public Square this morning. So there you go. I don't know if we're going to see him.
So a lot of overlap.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. You're a new father.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And he said, "Welcome to the neighborhood." my guy, if you see your twin, give him a super joke because this guy also kind of looks like me. So, you know, this is the thing. And then the last
over. Yes.
Have you guys watched the holdovers yet?
I feel like I'm creeping on a text thread.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, this it's is, a lot of screenshots.
Yeah, it's very funny.
That is so funny.
Yeah. So one of the things that people like to do the cameos for our Patreon is given to other people. So there you go. Something to keep in mind.
Yeah, you know.
And
holidays are coming. Father's Day, Mother's Day.
Yeah.
Weddings.
4th of July. Send
Fourth
it to
of July
your,
cameo.
Your most American loving friend. Hell yeah.
Memorial Day.
Yes. So good.
So keep that in mind. I wasn't going to say that one.
Yep.
September 11th.
Whoa.
Dude,
whoa. Mel.
Overstep.
Mel. You see how he was borderline there?
No. Just take it out.
No, it stays.
I crossed the line. Dude, stop. You're dead.
Yeah. Now, when's the Patreon Zoom?
Yeah.
One of the funds we do is a monthly hang with all of our patrons, regardless of your level of patron.
And that is on Sunday, April 28th.
Sunday, April 28th, 4/28. You're going to get on there. There's going to be some laughs. There's going to be some icebreakers, probably.
Yeah.
Fun facts. Mm-hmm. Everyone share a fun fact about yourself.
We're going to go alphabetically.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Everyone be prepared to list to name your favorite plant.
Have a prepared haiku.
Not counting trees. Favorite plant, not counting a tree. Go.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to tell on April
28th. Ooh, little teaser there,
yeah.
Huh?
Okay.
Oh, my gosh. Well, tune it. You better sign up for Patreon now to find out what your Woodwell's favorite non-tree plant is.
Oh, my gosh. Are you serious?
What's the difference between a tree and a plant? I suppose just size, mostly, right? You know?
I mean, a tree is a plant.
Yeah.
But
you wouldn't put a... If there's a tree, you don't put a tree... I mean, you might put a bonsai tree in your house.
Oh, you mean like a potted plant.
Yeah. What's the difference between a tree and a plant?
Root system? I don't know.
Yeah.
I honestly don't know.
Is this
difference of
fruit?
Trunks?
Fruit?
Difference probably
of trunks?
Trees probably, I think, are more have a trunk system where plants are not truncated. I don't know if that's the right word.
Truncated,
Truncated.
I'm glad. I'm going to be honest right now. I'm really glad that I asked this and you guys didn't call me stupid like a couple weeks ago when I couldn't remember where land came from.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, yeah, the plates. They pushed that up from the bottom of the ocean. It just took me a while to get there. But I mean, I think there's a fair discussion about what's a plant and what's a tree.
Yeah.
You know?
Palm trees are part of the grass family, actually. So palm trees are technically grass.
Oh, interesting.
So, you know?
So that's an interesting one because I think it's got to be the trunk, right? Because plants don't have a singular, it's the singular trunk, right? But some trees have multiple little trunks, right? Kind of like they'll stem off of or maybe.
Mm-hmm. A banyan tree will actually root off its branches down, which is really special.
There you go. Mel, kick in. Mm-hmm. What do you need? Why you don't want to? You don't feel
I don't have anything to add to this discussion. I don't know.
It can't be size.
I don't know, Dustin.
It can't be size because a bonsai tree is a tree by definition, right?
Correct.
What makes a tree a tree?
Yeah. A tree or a plant.
I said fruit. I think trees have fruit.
Not all trees have fruit, though.
Yeah, but
a blueberry bush is definitely a plant.
Yeah, blackberry. And what's the difference between now we threw a bush in here? What's a plant versus a bush versus a tree? I got nothing. Shoot us emails at don'tmakemecomebackthere@gmail.com. Could we look this up? Of course, we could look this up. But I'd rather hear your guys' thoughts and also get on that Facebook group, which we did not plug last time. Facebook group us, baby.
Yeah.
Dustin Nickerson comedy fans. This is hot content right
now.
Now,
do you want to plug your dates, your tour dates?
Fine. Syracuse, thanks for coming out last weekend. I hope you were good. I don't know that you were, but I hope that you were. I think you were. I know Claude was good. Claude's a good fan. Remember Claude?
Yeah.
From last week?
Mm-hmm.
Claude, thanks for the hash brown wrecks at Dunkin' Donuts. Shout out, Claude.
In those comic book stores.
Oh, yep. Yeah, absolutely. This weekend, I'm back on the East Coast. I never came back. I did, actually. In Rutherford, New Jersey, at the Hotel Renaissance, I think, is the where the club is. It's a room.
Okay.
We'll be out there. Then we're in L.A. in May and Cheyenne and Fort Collins, Des Moines. And then we go into June, where I'm going to be in Naples, Tampa, Dania Beach. Everything after that is just July and beyond. We've got Rosemont, Chicago, Huntsville, Nashville, Fort Wayne, Louisville, Atlanta, Charleston, Asheville, Charlotte, Omaha, Houston, Addison, Tacoma, Milwaukee, Appleton, Wisconsin, Salt Lake City, Raleigh, North Carolina, Oklahoma City, Tulsa, and Spokane, Washington.
Mm-hmm.
DustinNickerson.com/tour.
Yeah. All right.
A lot of dates.
All right. Boom, ba-doom, boom, boom. So anyways, Melissa, when we grew up, theater kids were made fun of.
Sure.
Sure.
No, I get that.
Theater kids were always this just sub, like, culture group in school that no one understood except each other, and they were always close, and they were, for lack of a better word, weird. But that weird, that word doesn't mean what it used to be. Well, it just meant they weren't mainstream.
They weren't mainstream cool. But what about, like, the band?
Same thing with band. Band was its own thing.
Because they were all close.
Because the 90s were a turning point, but still, when we grew up, still, sports, popularity, ASB...
Quarterback.
Like, they were kind of like the mainstream cool kids. I think the turning point for theater kids to stop getting beaten up or stop getting bullied was Glee.
Well, that was show choir, but...
it's the same thing.
No, they weren't acting. They were performing songs.
Okay.
But I will give you that for sure.
Well...
Well, that's the weird thing is theater kids can always be, like, super weird, outgoing.
Yeah.
Like, kind of just, like, loosey-goosey.
Yeah.
But then some of them go to Hollywood. And,
well, that's exactly it. One of my favorite things about...
fame.
Yes. Yes. Well, that's just it. One of my favorite things about where society right now is at is a full acceptance of how awesome theater kids are. Theater kids, show tunes, you're like, listen...
Broadway...
Yeah, you're your own little community. Are you tough to have a conversation with? Sure. Do you know so many songs that I don't know and that I didn't even know existed? Absolutely. But you're rad. Like, you have a gift. You're very good. And I get it, because we have a kid in theater now. And I was like, this is cool. This is fun. Like, this is a subculture, and it's a place where kids are accepted and close. It's kind of its own little, like, high school, like, in one little group, though, because you still have, like, populars and leads. But one of the nice things about theater, it's, like, all, like, the ages can merge, you know? So you can have, like... like an eighth grader being chill to a fourth grader.
Yeah, this theater group is like 8 to 14-year-olds, which is, if you think about it, I don't know why I was thinking about this, but I lived in Texas from half of fourth grade to half of eighth grade.
Right.
Which is like that segment. And, you know, you go through puberty and like so much changes in the matter of like 4 or 5 years. So, like, they're able to kind of bring the fourth and fifth graders under their wings. And then it's so interesting because, like, some of the kids are just crazy outgoing.
Right, right.
And then some of them are super introverted. But then they, like, own it on stage.
100%, yeah.
You know? And some of them are exactly the same person on and off stage.
Yes.
Like, in their line delivery and... commanding a room, and then sometimes it's the opposite. So it's actually just really fun to kind of see how they shine and pull it off.
Right.
And it all comes together.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, you know what it is I think being an adult is just realizing that we were wrong to look down on theater kids. We were wrong. That was our own insecurity.
Well, I do think a lot of adulthood is what, if you work 40 hours, you commute, you only get like 3 or 4 hours to like consume a movie or a TV show or a podcast, you know, in a day or a week.
Yeah.
And you're watching the theater kids.
Well, being an adult is, you know, is going, oh man, I'd love to be in a play. That seems fun.
Or like,
I'd love to have I'd love to have the time to learn a little number.
Yeah, like the
get a little outfit,
get the harmonies together.
Yeah,
you know, a little choreo.
Well, yeah. You say that to our kids all the time. Like, you're never gonna have as much structured exercise as you do right now in your life.
Yeah. So when we were going to the Red Rocks last week, everyone didn't want to go. But we had the reservation, we got the car out, we're going, we brought, you know, the right footwear. It was raining, and I'm sure nobody heard me, but I said, when you grow up, you don't have like a volleyball league that your parents drive you to.
Right.
And that you pay and you have uniforms and a, you know, a schedule, a practice schedule, a tournament schedule. Like,
right.
You have to find your own way to exercise.
Yep.
And you don't want to do it. Like, you get in your fitness clothes, you get your shoes on, you don't want to go.
Yeah.
But you have a plan and you go.
Yeah.
And then when you start walking around and you park, you're like, okay, I'm glad I did this.
I feel
like I moved and I didn't want to, but I did. And that's adulthood.
Well, yeah, it is adulthood. And also, like, it's,
and I'm grateful for this opportunity I created for myself.
Right. I mean,
and I tried to get out of 10 times.
Yeah. Well, also being in a relationship, like when you throw a family into that mix too, you're like, I'm going to go exercise right now. And your spouse is like, the hell you are.
Yeah. No, you're going to start the laundry while I make dinner.
Yeah. Oh, you're going to go down to the gym? Adorable.
Then you're going to try and come home and shower?
Yeah.
Okay, no.
So I guess I'll just do all the stuff for the next hour and a half. You go lift while I do the heavy lifting to keep this family afloat.
Our kids each were at a sport at 5 o'clock yesterday.
Yes.
And we were cooking dinner and driving them and doing laundry. And then you were like, we should walk. Let's go on like a 8 p.m. walk. And I was like, no, because I got to shower and do all this laundry. And
right.
Like, I've foregone movement today.
This is the argument. Yes.
I have
foregone movement.
Because I have three children.
Yes.
And they're going to move.
Yeah.
So they can go to sleep. Mm-hmm. And then I can lay in bed and not sleep.
Yeah.
And I'm doing it all for them.
This is the argument. This is the argument that I try and make to non-parents a lot of going, I don't think that you are a better person or a worse person for having kids. But I am a busier person than you can ever imagine. I know that because we have phrases like shower window or exercise window. Like, if you do not shower and or exercise during this time,
this window of opportunity,
you will not today. You have 8 minutes to poop. That's what you have. And it will get interrupted. Something will get slid under that door. A note, a task. You're going to get a text because everyone knows you're on your phone in there. There's a busyness that you can't really comprehend until you're in it. Now, as a parent, it does subtly get busier. Slowly get busier. Like when you have a newborn, you're exhausted, but you're not as busy as you will be as you get more kids and they get older. The task I showed. So we're at the Laugh Factory last week.
Yeah.
And I'm telling Aaron Weber, Nate Craig, Aaron, both of those guys, married guys with a baby on the way.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
I knew about Aaron. But
yeah, Nate's got a baby on the way, too.
Okay.
And I go, hey, I'm going to be in July in, let's look at our calendars.
July in Nashville.
July in Nashville.
Yeah.
Can you do the date? And looking at calendars. And for context here, I pull up. I was like, let me pull up to July. And I show him this. This is what our family calendar looks like. In July.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And my friend without kids audibly gasped.
Yes.
He took multiple Lord's names in vain. He couldn't. And he's like, I thought my calendar was full. And he goes, what is that? And I'll go, I'll just read a couple of them to you right here.
Yeah.
The purple are my dates. Those are work things.
Yeah.
The 15th, I have a haircut. And he goes, excuse me? I go, yes, my haircut is scheduled for July 15th. Where's a, we have, on the 8th, we've got White Dragon,
martial
Kung
arts.
Fu.
Yep.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Tuesday, we've got some work here. On July 11th, our daughter's, Nintendo Switch annual renewal happens and you have to change the backroom cat litter pad. Cause that's a weekly one that's on there. Mm-hmm. It's just, they can't, you can't even imagine it until you're in it.
And I know, and we're looking at April, May, June, which is scary. Yeah.
I'm looking at April of next year already.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's not an exaggeration.
No.
Because you're looking at, so, like, I feel bad for sometimes my reps of they're like, how's your November? I'm like, well, I don't know because the cross-country schedule's not out yet.
Yeah. And I've been like, I have been deep diving on the California CIF website. Mm-hmm. I'm like, give me a date for a conference.
Yeah.
There's five Saturdays in November. Yeah. I need to know which day it's on.
The average family of four plans a year further out than the federal government. We are so beyond what you are even here. We're
In 2025.
I don't even I have no questions about today, tomorrow. I know this is all cooking. What I'm wondering is where are we going to vacation in July 2028? That's where about. And I'm like, is the school schedule going to change? It's just you can't even imagine how busy we are. Melissa, I am so excited about our new sponsor, Dilly Co., because I've been trying to get you to play pickleball for decades. This is not an exaggeration. And now you're willing to play in part because of Dilly Co. They make such great gear. You're wearing it right now. What do you like about their gear, Mel?
It's comfortable.
So comfortable right now. I love it so much. It's a good fit.
Yeah, it's a good fit. It's good for everyone, young and old. And I'm ready.
It is very
comfortable, which I'm going to do something I'm uncomfortable doing.
Great.
And I'm going to give it a go.
And the gear helps. It is very hard to make pickleball or really any sport like gear that is good for everybody, like all levels of skill, ability, body type, comfort level on the court. And Dilly Co. has done it. All this stuff is great.
It's great gear.
They've got shirts. They've got some of their gear is really great. I really like their paddles. Specifically, I like the paddles because they're like, again, they're accessible. They're great paddles. Like they're officially pickleball approved, but they're not like too much. You don't want to be the person doing too much on the court. So if you guys go check out their website, thedillyco.com, and you use promo code BACKSEATER, you're going to get 10% off your entire order. So check it out. Go check out all their great gear, and we will see you on the court.
That's right.
In your Dilly Co. gear. Dilly Co.
Dilly Co.
Dilly Co. It's fun to say. It's very fun to say.
Yeah,
I don't remember
crazy
how we got on this subject originally. But
Well, I think when you have a baby, you're like, or when you get married or you have a partner, you're like, okay, so they have their sleep schedule and their work schedule and their eating and, you know, like exercise.
Yeah.
So you have another schedule that you're in needs that you're bouncing off of instead of just being like, I'm hungry right now.
Yeah.
I want to watch the show, you know?
Yes.
So that happens when you're with roommates or a partner.
Yeah.
And then you had a baby and those needs come first.
Right.
Because they're the youngest.
Yes.
And the most
fragile.
Needy.
Yeah.
Yep. And then you had pets, and then you had more children, and
Okay, I see that you're tired right now, and that's cute, but if you take a nap right now, your baby's gonna crawl into the laundry chute.
Well,
so you know, count the cost.
So, like, our 14-year-old is up watching The Matrix last night.
Yeah,
because she's on spring break.
Yeah,
in the living room. And
it was Terminator, but she switched last second. Yeah.
So we're like, turn the volume down. We are cranking our noise machine.
Yes.
Because we have to get up.
Yeah.
And we're coming off this trip and spring break. And so like no one's asleep really.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I think you were asleep and I think Claire, our one with like the schedule still is asleep, but everyone else is just up And yeah, it's just the way it is.
It's a lot. Yep. Are you guys a white noise family? Like the, you guys use that?
Yeah, we just turned the TV up really loud.
So yeah, I think there's a generational gap, and that like millennials listen to white noise, and then our youngers do, you know,
Gen Z
does, and then our parents don't. But our grandparents do.
Yeah, it's called the TV.
No, well, specifically, it's called Fox News. Fox News was the OG white noise. Just fall asleep to, you know, Biden.
You know, it is funny how as
these immigrants are taking the jobs. Oh, I'll sleep well on that. Okay.
It is funny how much, like, Gen Z and millennials, you know, everyone's like, get off your phones, you know. And then we are like, yeah, but the TV was on 24/7.
All the time. Never not watching TV. Constantly.
In the sense that you're like, passive screen time has always existed. Mm-hmm. I mean, ever since, you know, the technology was there. We're not the first generation to have screens on.
Yeah.
It's
my
just
Monday
a different
nights was
screen.
Just Happy Gilmore on VHS. Mm-hmm. I should legitimately turn that on and fall asleep like all the time.
Oh, yeah. TV is so foreign to our kids now that like if I just like
you were
put
watching
on,
some baseball.
I put on, you know, yesterday I watched the semifinal for the Final Four for the women's Iowa versus LSU, and then I put the Mariners game on. TV is so foreign to our children that when they walk on, they're like, what's going on? Why is a show on?
Yeah.
Where's the sound effects? Why is this something engage me? Something needs to, I need an effect to come across the screen. You know, like every 30 seconds or 8 seconds. Or
where do I swipe?
Where's the cuts? Where's the cuts? I need some cuts here. So where do I swipe?
Well, I thought it was funny because it's the MLB, right? MLB Network. They had a bunch of like in-house ads.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, huh.
They do the hat trick, you know, which is fun. Yeah. But the this is my belief level on the Seattle Mariners right now. I was like, I'm going to sign up. You know, for MLB so I can watch the games. But I'm not going to pay for the year up front. Like, let's
just start.
I'm going to go month to month until July and then see where we're at. Maybe after then if there's a deal for the rest of the year. But I'd like to see our standings post All-Star break, you know, before I make a full commitment to them. But anyways, we're not talking about sports. We're talking about theater. That's where we're supposed to be today.
Okay.
We are really this where we live right here. We have a thing called Peter Pan Junior Theater, and they're able to perform an unbelievably high end production. And it's at our old place of work, the Range Own Croc Core. Can be funny. I've worked there forever. The Croc Center. It's a Salvation Army Croc Center, and it's like this crazy nice thing that was built with
theater.
McDonald's money.
Yep.
And so they perform there. So the sets are great. And then the directors are incredible. It's like they play with like a live orchestra.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's so well done.
It's 8 shows in 1 week.
Shows in 1 week. I've never related to my daughter more.
Yeah.
Or her 2-show days. I'm like, yeah, pace yourself, girl. She's got a. But they miss a week of school.
Because they
on
have
show week.
Dress rehearsal. They rehearse Monday. They rehearse 13 hours. Tuesday, they start doing the dress rehearsals. They have show makeup.
All the local schools come make and do field trips to go see them. There's 2 shows a day. There's a matinee and an evening show.
Yeah.
And it's so good.
Yeah, it's amazing. And it's quite the experience. They have to take care of their costumes. They have to put everything away. There's no screens in the green room.
Yeah.
So they're playing cards for 20 hours a week. That week, waiting for their call times and their everything. But it's like 20 drop-offs and pickups at very specific times.
A lot of volunteers going in and out. Mel had a volunteer thing in the
I did two green room shifts, and then I ushered.
And I brought her some coffee and a pastry once, and I got in trouble for going backstage.
Yeah.
Excuse me? And I was like, oh, I'm just surprising my wife with a little treat. And you're like, I can't have this back here.
Well, I had the headset.
Yeah.
I had the headset, so I had to ring
the
bell.
And people were really surprised that Melissa knew so much about Annie. Because Melissa was Annie.
Hannigan and, oh my gosh, can't remember his name. Warbucks. Orphans.
Well, you've watched it all out, you know. What do you know about the play Annie?
Oh, me, not enough.
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry.
That's all right.
Nope.
That's all right.
Okay. Let me, can I plot review of Annie? If you don't know the story of Annie, Annie's a young, sassy orphan.
Yeah.
Charming, sassy orphan. Mm-hmm. Staying in an orphanage.
She has a lot of hope.
She's the one redhead, you know, for contrast standpoint, so you know who the lead is. And
She's 11.
She's staying in this orphanage with Miss Hannigan, a real, you know, classic mean orphanage type character who's also pretty funny in the show.
Yeah.
And Annie believes that her real parents are still alive. This is also the plot of Joe Dirt, now that I say it out loud.
Which I think Annie was written in first.
Yeah, yeah, I think you're right. Yeah. Because she has half a locket. She was dropped off at the orphanage by her parents with a half locket around saying, "We'll come back and get you." Mm-hmm. And a note. There's a note.
It's set during the Depression.
Yes.
Annie was a real comic strip and radio show. In the 30s.
Exactly. Yeah. And so Annie's got a lot of hope, and she's the classic orphan who's doesn't want to be an orphan. She's not accepting who she is. I know I'm different. My parents are going to come get me. Again, full Joe Dirt. and he, she, no, it was a Joe Dirt. I was thinking about Joe Dirt. I was thinking about how good Dennis Miller is in Joe Dirt. He's the radio DJ. Oh, yeah. He's so good. Anyways, Annie tries to get out of the orphanage a couple times. She ends up on the mean streets of New York. This is all set in New York at one point. She gets in. She gets caught. She finds a dog. She, you know, this is all kind of filler. Insert staunch Republican and billionaire Daddy Warbucks. What's his real name again?
Oliver Warbucks.
Oliver Warbucks. Mm-hmm. Oliver Warbucks decides he's going to have an orphan for Christmas. Mm-hmm. Bring an orphan, which is not...
So problematic.
It's so problematic for so many reasons. But in this, you know, in this story, it's very wholesome. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to have an orphan. Was it a press thing or he just wanted to be nice?
Yeah, no, it was definitely a press thing.
A press thing. Let me show...
An image kind of thing.
Let me remind this orphan how bad they have it. By showing them how good they could have it for 2 weeks during Christmas. Now, sassy, charming little Annie just charms the pants off of Daddy Warbucks. They go to a show at Radio City. She falls asleep. Their first movie. She's singing. How does she end up with the president again? How does that happen?
She's in the president's cabinet.
She ends up in front of the president's cabinet with Warbucks. Because Warbucks is a highfalutin billionaire type. He's got calls to Teddy Roosevelt. He's helping them, blah, blah, blah. She ends up singing some song about optimism in front of tomorrow. In front of Warbucks. And now she's charmed the president and his whole cabinet. It's quite a story. It's got Forrest Gump vibes now, you know.
So then Daddy Warbucks is like, "Hey, I'll go ahead and adopt
you. I'm going to adopt you." And she goes, "I can't be adopted because my parents are going to come get me."
And then...
So he sends out a nationwide search to find...
Annie's parents.
The president's helping. Everyone's trying. Now, a bunch of people want the 50 grand or...
There's
a check. There's a reward, blah, blah, blah.
The reward money.
You know, people try and steal. Some people come close to do it. Hannigan and her brother, they come up with some plot to... pretend to be so-and-so and get the remaining half locket. Of course, they were fake. They only find out they're fake because the freaking president's involved and the CIA, and it's a whole... it's crazy. And
and then the president comes up with the New Deal.
Right, exactly. Daddy Warbucks inspires the New Deal. And, of course...
The country is
saved. And then Warbucks adopts the whole orphanage, right, at the end?
Yeah, I think... I don't know if there's a line in there, but... It's implied. Yeah. It's implied.
Like they all kind of come back, right?
Yeah. I think they're in, because the movies are different.
Yeah.
In the play, Hannigan is sent away, you know, for conspiring.
Right.
You know, and so there's a bit of like, you guys all got you know, a new dad.
Yeah.
You got a dad.
It's very, yeah. it's an mm-hmm. exceedingly problematic play, but like anything, it ages poorly. But it's cute and don't read into it.
It starts as traumatically as every Pixar movie yeah. does.
What I think is yes. so funny, uh-huh. and I told you this, what I think is so funny is that the government was doing nothing to help the orphanage the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing.
Sure.
What that story tells the story of, what Annie, the play of Annie tells the story that the federal government will help poor people when it helps rich people.
Mm.
So the federal government gets involved when Daddy Warbucks wants an orphan. And the president of the United States sends out every
FBI.
Bit of resources mm-hmm. that the president has. The
yep.
CIA, the FBI, the press, they're doing radio shows. Find Annie's parents.
Yep.
They're doing background checks. They're checking signatures. They're seeing that a thing's forged,
mm-hmm.
all to help one good donor.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Which, so that,
and
I guess.
Those are the strings that can be pulled.
If you're poor, you just have to be charming. That's the lesson
yeah.
of Annie.
Mm-hmm.
If you are cute and charming and can be optimistic and a little
mm-hmm.
sassy, and
mm-hmm.
that's your only hope.
Worked for her.
But that being said, great show.
Mm-hmm.
So fun. Mm-hmm. So fun.
It's a good show for kids because you got the orphans.
Yeah.
And then,
it's a funny experience as a dad when your child comes home thrilled. I'm an orphan.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah,
oh, the play. I forgot
life.
You auditioned.
Yeah.
Hard Knock Life steals the show.
Mm-hmm.
It's so sassy.
And I think
it's so good.
You're Never Fully Dressed Without a Smile. That's a good one too.
Mid compared. They're all mid. They're
okay.
all fine.
Yeah, you're right. That song got sampled in like rap songs and stuff.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, dude, stop.
No, I'm Hard Knock Life got sampled.
I know.
Rap,
so,
yeah,
that's what I was saying.
Okay. Dude,
stop. You're dead.
You're dead, dead. Melissa just fell asleep mid-podcast. Sorry.
I give up.
Sorry, we lost you, Melissa, mid-pod. I can't believe the I am so blown away. Like, I've been in youth sports. That's the world I know. I know the youth sports world.
Yeah.
And I'm here to tell mm-hmm. you youth theater is so much more complicated to execute.
Oh, all the quick changes and costumes, props,
yeah.
sets.
More practices, more rehearsals, more.
Our daughter started rehearsing. She auditioned in August.
Mm-hmm.
She started rehearsals mid-October.
Right.
8 to 11 every Saturday morning.
Yeah.
3 to 4 days a week she was rehearsing.
Mm-hmm.
They did a full kick line with all the orphans.
Mm-hmm.
It was crazy. Yeah.
It's unbelievable. So,
yeah.
I don't know. Get your kids in theater. They won't get bullied anymore, is what I'm saying. Is that true? I don't know if that's true
well,
in the schools themselves.
Well, bullying has changed.
Oh, yeah?
Bullying is now digital.
Mm.
I mean, it's still at school, too, but there's new layers of bullying.
Yeah?
Yes. Yes. It's like someone will be in a group text, and then they'll start a group text with everyone but one person.
Yeah,
and then
yeah,
they start
yeah.
making fun of that person. On the other group text,
yeah.
and you're like, "Oh, that is so specifically mm-hmm. mean."
Yeah,
you know,
the only equivalent we had to that is when three-way calling,
call.
And you didn't know somebody else
yeah.
was on the line,
and then they baited you to talk bad about
the
third person. Then everyone hates
so
you.
Mean.
Yeah.
So mean.
Yeah.
So,
why do you think teens have to be mean? What psychologically is going in there?
Insecurity or boredom.
Hmm.
Right?
No, expand. I want to hear more on that.
Insecurity, no, I think you're just...
Well, usually meanness is because you hate yourself or you're insecure.
Well, you're just like, I'm not as tall as X. I'm not as hot as this person.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not good at reading or I'm bad at public speaking
right.
or I don't have a nice car
yeah.
or I hate my brother.
Yeah.
Or, you know...
Because of the nature of schooling in those years... Everything that you do is on display. your mm-hmm. academic level, your looks, your fashion, your athletic level. Because you have people know your scores, they know your classes, they know your athletic ability, they know how you dress.
Your friends.
They know, a lot of jobs, people don't even really know anything about you. They just know how you are at work. They don't even know, how you dress. They don't know they don't know about all. You know so much about each other in school. Yeah.
Well, because it's like prison.
It is like prison.
Everyone's just looking for power.
Not even in prison. At least in prison, they all wear the same uniform. And there's no there is a socioeconomic status, but, not in the sense of, oh, you're poor and you're rich. That's the other thing in school. Teenage is so, it's so hard because if there is something that someone can make you feel bad about, they will.
Mm-hmm. Well, our kids go to a 600 class high school. Mm-hmm. So where you're going to fall amongst your 600 freshman classmates.
Right.
You're like, there's going to be so many that are.
I'll tell you where I would have been. Right in between 250 and 400, somewhere right around there. Just, hey, got some good grades.
I don't know. It's just, I think also you've known some of the kids have known each other since kindergarten
or
preschool. And so you have this history and these stereotypes that kind of get locked into.
Well, I think that this, kind of full circle it back to, this is part of the reason that I'm very grateful that our daughter is in a theater community because it's a group. You just, when you're a parent, I don't want my kids to be, maybe this is different with modern parenting from what our parents, I don't want my kids to be, my priority is not for my kids to be smart, athletic, or popular. I just want them to be happy with a group of friends. In a safe group of friends.
Or just to have a fairly decent group of friends.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
No, that was...
Of good, supportive friends that are kind and loving to you. That's what I want. Because high school can be... Because there is that stereotype of people who peak in high school. But those were their best years imaginable. But people around them are having terrible years. Not even just high school. All throughout school. That can be miserable.
So, when you move or you started a new school, where you go from elementary to middle school, the first birthday party you get invited to, you're yes.
Well, you move so much,
Or just first event. Mm-hmm. You're like, oh my gosh, I got included in something. You know?
Military kids are so tough and adaptable because of the moving and because the mom or dad might be gone for a while. Is it good for them? No. You are tough because of it. I mean, your ability to
resilient?
I don't know. There's a scene in every teen movie where someone awkwardly has to go
through the
lunch tray room.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Military kids have to do that every couple of months, every couple of years. They're moving to a new place. Mm-hmm. And not just I went to a new high school down the road. Yeah. You went from Japan to Texas to Seattle.
Yeah.
That's crazy. By the California. Way, of those three places, Japan and Seattle are more alike than Texas and Seattle.
Yeah.
Talk about culture shift. And you just rolled in eighth grade, height of security.
Oof.
You never feel better about yourself and your body and who you are than at 14.
It's rough.
Tough, adaptable military. Mm-hmm. It is absolutely a sacrifice for... The soldier, the enlistee, but it's a huge sacrifice for the family. The system is so hard.
Well, people like to you can do the cute thing and be like, military families get connected fast because they have to.
Right.
You know, and you're like, awesome, cool. They go deep quick.
Yeah.
You know, and you're like, great. Yeah. I don't know. What do I have to say about this?
No. I don't even remember how I got into military kids. But the point being, you just want your kids to
thrive.
But our goals as modern parents have changed. It's socially, you just, because you know you've seen enough data that you're like, of course I want you to go to school. I want you to go to college. It's going to help you. You know, like, I want all of those things. But we just know in this, like, modern era, there's so many different routes that you can go and so many different ways of finding your thing that I want. I was talking to Joel about this yesterday. I haven't told you this. We were walking through and I was like, I drove him because we had to use the car.
Yeah.
And I dropped him off and I was like, oh gosh, I haven't been doing this in a while. And I dropped him off in the student light at his high school. And I was like, and I was just like, gosh, I can't believe you're about to go into your senior year. And I told him, I was like, this flew by. This flew by. Faster than any other
season
I can remember. My son's high school years went, they're gone. And it's in part because you don't see them nearly as much.
Yeah.
That the days don't feel as long because now they're independent and they have their own car and they have their after-school activities. And on Fridays, they come home at 10 or 11 and you don't see them nearly as much. So the days don't feel nearly as long. Like that same 4 years in our 10-year-old's life felt much longer than they did in his life. And then he goes, I know I can't think about it without getting sad.
Oh.
You know, but it made me grateful that that meant he had a good, he's had a good high school experience.
Yeah.
Because he told me his friends, he has multiple friends who are just like, I can't wait for high school to be over. I hate it here. And that's dichotomy.
That's true, too.
Yeah.
I think theater is great because they learn how to public speak.
Valuable.
Like learn what I mean is like memorize lines and choreography and blocking.
Right.
I think all that stuff's super valuable. But also it's
blocking.
Well, like on stage. Sorry. Okay. Well, here's what I'm gonna
say. Sorry, blocking was just so specific.
Well, just like where to
tap.
Be. No, it's like posture and you know, blocking is Okay. What I was gonna say is just like sports, they're learning how to operate under pressure.
Yes.
And stress, but like it's like a good stress.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, like because they're tired and they want to sit down.
Yeah,
they got to do the run through. And
also, being introduced to a little hierarchy is not a bad thing.
And the lights.
Yeah,
yeah. Actually, someone else getting a role is auditioning for a part you don't get.
Yeah,
that's very helpful in life. And then for them to go, no, I probably do need to work harder.
Yep.
If I want. This role.
Right.
You know, like those are good life skills to learn.
100%. Yeah. I think that, and then like learning to exist in like a big ecosystem like that and to kind of find your place.
Well,
really valuable.
Directors do a lot of like grounding techniques, you know, like breathing and vocal warm ups. And they're like, you'll never have this show again in this way and with this group. They do a lot of like gratitude circles.
Yeah.
It's very positive.
You know what the closest equivalent that I can think of it is to is youth group. And that you have this like whole other ecosystem, this whole other group of place that you exist.
Yeah.
And it's nothing like where you're at in school. Like, you know, especially when you're in a theater company that's outside of your school. Like, maybe there's a couple friends, but you're like, oh, I got this whole other thing over here. I got a different ranking over here socially. I'm like a lead over here, or I'm in the worship band, or I'm like, maybe I'm kind of lame at school, but I'm kind of popular at here. Or like, you know, maybe I'm like straight edge in high school, but I'm kind of a bad boy in youth group.
Alter ego?
Yeah. It's just interesting that you can be a certain age and have a total different, you know, status somewhere outside of, because it is not an even playing
field.
Well, that,
especially in middle school, people will say it's good to have a group outside of school.
Right. 100%.
So, like,
it takes less pressure off of school.
If you, like, have a Girl Scout troop that's not at the school or youth group, whatever, like, it's even if you're having tons of turmoil and fighting at your school, then you can have another group that's separate.
100%.
Yeah. That's like Claire has a friend who doesn't go to her school anymore. But they can hang out and not even have to worry about school dynamics.
100%. Yeah.
You know, she's just kind of like a neighborhood friend.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that makes it like very neutral in the sense they can just hang out.
What we're saying is your kid has to be a Christian or a theater kid. Those are the options. One or the other. Baptized in the water or in the play. One crucifix or crucible. I don't know. I was trying to figure out. Yeah,
there you go.
if you can get both somehow in there.
Oh,
with
and
a
they are
Technicolor Dreamcoat or something.
Oh my God! And we all know a theater Christian kid has got two different worlds they live in.
They got
there's a lot of crossover actually.
Theater Christian
churches,
groups.
Well, churches love a big theatrical production. Yeah. Love a big one.
Some do.
Especially around Yeah, that's true. That's true. Some churches are real theater churches.
Arts, performing arts.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you remember that when, when you're reading.
My first church that I went to was that
one. You read, the Easter text.
Yeah.
And you're like, no, I am Pontius Pilate right now.
Yeah. That's so funny.
There's I watched one of them, Mary, Did You Know? And she swooped her hands below her legs to pull the baby out, above her head.
Oh my gosh. Incredible. Well, I mean, the first church that we went to, that I ever went to in south of Seattle in Federal Way, was one that was kind of that. Older Gen X boomer.
Palm Sunday. They had palms.
Well, Melissa, there was a donkey one week, and for palms for a Good Friday, or no, for Palm Sunday, And I did not know why there was a donkey in church because I didn't know enough about the Bible at that point that this was a reenactment of Christ coming into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. And I was just like, "There's a donkey here." Real donkey.
I think we had a camel for Christmas.
We had a Christmas camel one year?
I think so.
Yeah. Now, after that, we did not go into any more theater churches, but not by choice. But it was a specific genre of church. Yeah. Were you ever in a theater church, a church that loved a good play?
Yeah, my grandma, in a couple different versions, but my grandma at her Methodist church always had a Christmas reenactment that was like, all the different characters walked down the middle and came on stage and essentially became the manger scene.
What's it? Living Nativity. Living Christmas tree, but
animals, the whole thing.
Yeah.
And then another church I worked for, had a whole, their entire campus.
Yeah.
They made it
production.
You were walking through a little Jerusalem.
Mm.
And so that was a whole thing. Oh, certain churches.
Yeah. The first church that we went to was a real theater church. And then after that, we went to Mars Hill where we were all puppets. So that was a little different.
Yeah.
That's a good ending. Mm-hmm. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Hey, folks, we want to give a special shout out to our As Essential as Oils patrons. Those are the top tier, baby.
Mm-hmm.
The best of the best, the $25 a month and up patrons. So thank you so much for supporting the podcast. We love you and appreciate you so much. First off, Avril Griffiths.
Adam Bush.
Allison Nelson.
Bonnie Galindo.
Brandon Schoenberger.
Carrie T.
Christopher Finland.
Code to Grow.
Courtney Eibling.
Damaris Diaz Stevens.
Daniel Owens.
Dave and Melissa Cox.
Dave Hoagland.
Dustin Daly.
Jason and Francis White.
Jessica Hanheran.
Joshua and Nikki Platt.
Jordan Cowan.
Juliana Smith.
Lori Amos.
Matt and Sam Slosdom.
Michelle Calson.
Nathan and Jennifer Merritt.
Nicole Carroz.
Rachel Wilson.
Robert and Nellie K. Penn.
Rachel Kennedy.
Steven Nina.
Tiffany Payne.
Thank
you guys so much for your support. Bye.
Bye.